One of the strangest cases of hypocrisy by an ostensibly religious person involved one Cecil T. Turner of Louisville, Kentucky. He was arrested in 2003 for burglary and fraudulent use of a credit card. The sticky-fingered Mr. Turner had obtained the card and several other items by ransacking several women's purses while they were attending church. The curious aspect of this story is the business where Mr. Turner chose to use the credit card he stole. The police traced it to a Christian bookstore in a nearby town, where he had used it to purchase copies of a Bible study called Making Peace with Your Past. Not only that, he had also purchased the follow-up study called Moving Beyond Your Past. Searching the suspect's home, police found receipts for those purchases, which clinched the indictment. Wow. I think Mr. Turner missed the point of going to church. His behavior did not match the standard of how a Christian who is following Jesus ought to live. In the gospel, according to Mark, Jesus is constantly being criticized because the Pharisees do not like the way his disciples behave. They don't think that Jesus or his disciples are following the law of Moses as they have interpreted it like they should. This particular time, the Pharisees brought to Jesus' attention that his disciples had not washed their hands before they ate. This practice of hand washing was not about getting rid of germs or practicing good hygiene. At that time in history, they didn't know that germs were the way that you got sick. It was a religious practice that if you washed your hands, you were considered clean before God. In other words, you would be considered righteous if you washed your hands before and after eating. Now, that was a policy that interpreted the law of Moses. It was not a commandment of God. So Jesus began debating this issue with them. To teach them, they were missing the point of what it means to be righteous or clean. So he quotes from the prophet Isaiah to make his point. Isaiah was speaking as if he were speaking for God. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. Unquote. The practice of hand washing was a ritual developed by human religious tradition. Jesus is saying that they were following human traditions while ignoring what is most important to God. Isaiah was teaching that the people went to worship God, but it was an empty, meaningless worship. They were going through a routine, a habit of worship. However, Isaiah declared, God saw that their hearts were not into worshiping God. Their hearts were far away from God. In other words, they weren't worshiping God in spirit and in truth. They were not being genuine. They were just mouthing some words and singing some songs without sincerely meaning what they were doing. They were just going through the motions. They were only pretending to care about God's will, or living in the way that God wanted them to live. So Jesus was defending his disciples by telling the Pharisees that God looks into the human heart to see whether or not a person is clean or dirty. God does not judge a person by their physical hygiene. God judges and looks for righteousness in a person's heart, mind, and behaviors that are enacted from within a person. Jesus taught many times that murder and hatred begin in a person's heart, and then that they are put into action. Evil begins in a person's heart and mind, and if unchecked, spills over into action. God can see into our hearts, can see whether or not we are living to worship and to obey God and God's will for our lives. If we love God and love our neighbor, then God can see and know that we truly belong to Him and are living to please Him. If God looks into our hearts and sees hatred or jealousy or bitterness or murderous intent, the intent of doing harm or hurting others, then God knows we're only pretending. It's nothing on the outside of our bodies that can make us unrighteous before God. It's what is within that counts, in our hearts and minds. When the Gospel of Mark was written, the Christian community was struggling between the Jews who were followers of Jesus and the new Gentile Christians. The Jewish followers of Jesus observed a kosher diet. There was a long list of foods that were considered unclean, that this commandment went all the way back to the time of Moses to the Old Testament. And the Jews continued to follow that restricted diet as followers of Jesus. They viewed that diet as pleasing to God. But then with these Gentiles who had never followed such a diet all their lives, and they became followers of Jesus, the church had to decide, well, do we make them eat a restricted diet like the Jewish Christians? Or can they continue to eat whatever they want to eat? Finally, at a church council meeting in Jerusalem, it was decided that the Gentile Christians did not have to be circumcised, and they did not have to follow a kosher diet in order to be a disciple of Christ. If they had not made that decision, then Louisiana Christians would not have any crab boils or no cochon delays, because Jews do not eat crabs or pigs. Swine. Jesus was telling them that the food they ate really was not that important in God's viewpoint. It went into the body, into the stomach, and out into the sewer. Food does not make a person sinful before God. Evil intentions, the desire to hurt others, to seek revenge, to kill, to lie, to cheat, to steal, to fraud, to commit adultery. These are the types of evil things that make a person unclean in the sight of God. Now, it's true, as disciples of Christ, none of us are perfect on any given day. Sometimes terrible thoughts pop into our heads and hearts out of nowhere. When this happens, we can seek God's help to wash us clean on the inside. This usually happens to me when I'm on I-10 and I'm tired and I'm trying to get home and somebody is speeding down the highway and they almost run into me, and that's when it happens. Woo, some thoughts that come into my head. But I usually, after I calm down, say, Lord, please forgive me. Cleanse my heart. When we confess our sin before God, God will erase it and offer us forgiveness. This is how we get cleansed. The worst thing we can do is to let evil thoughts take control of our hearts and minds. We see this with road rage all the time in our country now. People get so mad, they start shooting people for an accident or all kinds of things. When we allow evil to take root, then we begin to plot and plan, to take action, to carry out terrible thoughts. It can be something as simple as spreading gossip or rumors about people that we cannot verify. You would be shocked at some of the rumors that have been brought to me as a pastor of churches over the years. Rumors and gossip destroy people, and there's no place for that in a loving community of Christ. And really, there's no place for that at the office. I used to work in banking, and the gossip that would go around about who's cheating on who and who's dating so-and-so and what somebody's husband has a problem with. And there were rumors and gossip, and they hurt people. So it's no place for it in the office or wherever we are. When Peter told Jesus that he would not allow him to go to Jerusalem and face death, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter did not mean any evil intention, but Jesus saw it as a temptation in his life that should have been defeated. I think that's a good tactic for us to use when we know we are being tempted to do something that we know is wrong. We can tell evil to get behind us and go away from us. We don't want any part of it. We can have the victory over evil, rely on the power of Jesus Christ to help us. He overcame temptation, and he can help us to do the same. Many of us have a hard time admitting ourselves that evil intentions can be found in our hearts and minds. We have to stop and take some time to do some self-examination. Sometimes when we hear a sermon, we may be tempted to say, "Oh yeah, preacher, preach it to them." But what we need to say is, "Oh yes, preacher, preach it to me. I need to hear this sermon. I need to repent and change my ways. I want to live in such a way that my words, my thoughts, my heart, my actions, the way I live my life are consistent with what Christ has taught us to do." No one can change our lives but us and God. I had preached a sermon a few weeks ago on anger management, and those words came back to me when two Sundays ago I was supposed to go to minister with the women at the prison in Davant, and the guard decided he would not allow me to do that. But the minister who was there for the men was allowed to go inside. You talk about mad. I was mad. And so I thought, how do I deal with this? First, I had to calm down. And then I said, okay, I'm going to call the chaplain, who is the one who asked me to come to that prison to begin with, and the warden. And so after I talked to the chaplain, he said, "Don't worry. That guard is going to be in the warden's office as soon as he comes in. Don't worry. This will not happen again." I said, okay. So we worked out the details, and the chaplain asked me to call him every time I'm scheduled to remind him so they can make sure the guard on duty is aware that we're having women's church at the prison. Now, if I hadn't listened to that sermon, I might have behaved very badly because I was so angry that I had spent a lot of time getting ready to go, and it's such a joy to share with those women, to worship God in a very difficult place. And God helped me to hear my own sermon, to behave myself. Sometimes we cannot make necessary changes all by ourselves. That's okay. But we can ask for help. We can seek God's strength. We can reach out for support in the right direction by asking trusted Christians to pray with us, to support us, to encourage us on our journey to the path of righteousness. Reform cannot happen until we first examine our own lives and admit that we need to make some changes. And God has the power to help us go in the right direction. Remember, God took Moses after Moses had killed a man and covered it up and fled the scene. Moses became a great servant leader. God took David and made him this great king of Israel. And David messed up royally. He committed adultery. He murdered his mistress's husband, covered it up, and pretended that everything was fine. Until God brought David the prophet to bring him to account for his evil action. And David humbly repented of his sin. And he began to go again in the right direction. God can take every one of us, no matter our past, no matter our present, God can make us whole again. Years ago, I think it was around the year 400, I could be mistaken, but one of the church fathers, Augustine, wrote this brief poem, a prayer asking God to use him. I think it's still very applicable. Give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments can tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, thy flame, O God. No matter what our past, God wants to use us to his glory, for us to worship him and love him and serve him in our world today. So let us not be afraid of some soul searching, but let us look into our hearts and ask God to cleanse us anew and to begin again to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.